Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are. Fridays, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful Los Angeles. Welcome to the couch, everybody. As always, I have an amazing guest for you today, and I know you've seen her before out there. She's really appeared on so many media outlets, and of course, is a best-selling author, an enlightened woman, and who I would say is both beautiful inside and out. And what we're going to be doing is talking about her latest book today, which is, it's really going to change your life if you read it. I have a lot of so-called self-help authors, you know, on the air, as you guys know. A lot of great information comes through this microphone and through your computer or your device or wherever you're listening from every single week. But today we're talking about really getting that emotional edge and changing your life. Okay, so what we're going to be talking about is my guest's book, and she is Crystal Andrus Morissette. And her book is called The Emotional Edge, Discover Your Inner Age, Ignite Your Hidden Strengths, and Reroute Misdirected Fear to Live Your Fullest. Oh my God, she just, that is, you know, every day in my psychological office. That's what we all want to do every day. But today, for the next 45 minutes, you better take notes, guys. Well, you can download and replay the shows, of course. They're available on iTunes podcasts, on the couch for free, and of course here in the archives on my LA Talk Radio webpage. Let me bring up my guest in just a minute because she's amazing. Now, Crystal Andrus Morissette is a leader in the field of self-discovery and personal transformation, and she kind of had a tough beginning, and we're going to talk a little bit about that so we can all sort of get where she's coming from. But Crystal has risen to become a world-renowned life coach, women's advocate, best-selling author, international speaker, and founder, I love this, of the SWAT Institute, S-W-A-T, which is the acronym for Simply Woman Accredited Training. And Crystal's message of resilience, strength, and inner power has allowed her to grace the stage with so many different speakers, such as Dr. Phil, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Susie Orman, Marianne Williamson, and many, many more. She's been out there. You've seen her on television, on most media outlets. And today we're talking about her latest book. We're going to bring her up on the air right now. Crystal, so nice to have you. Yay,
I'm grinning from ear to ear. Oh. Wow, what an opening. Thank you.
Well, it's true. It's all true, and you're so welcome. And wow, I am so impressed with this book. It is awesome. One of the most comprehensive self-help books I've ever read.
Thank you. Wow. It amazes me. It amazes me that I keep hearing that from it shouldn't amaze me. I should feel like, yeah. But it is amazing when I keep getting this kind of feedback from brilliant people like yourself. It pinch myself and kind of go, wow.
You are well-educated, and you are channeling some high-vibing stuff, my dear. You cover so many things in this book, and we're going to be talking about that, guys. In case you would like to email me, by the way, I'm not going to take live calls today. I think I'm going to just answer your emails at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And, we'll try to incorporate some of the most commonly asked questions that may come up during the interview. So we'll kind of put it out there And, of course, Crystal, I know you'll be happy to help listeners, as you're happy
to
reach out and help everybody else. So
yes.
Basically what we're going to do is talk about The Emotional Edge, your latest book, which I'll just set it up, and then you get to go for it, because I'll shut up. It really, this book.
Oh, you're doing great. You can keep going.
Thank you. Aw, it really empowers us. If you start reading this book, you can't let go. You can't put it down. You want to go to bed and say, I really need some sleep, but I've got to finish this chapter.
Because
it really will help you stop reacting in knee-jerk ways that have hurt you guys all your life. I mean, why did that happen to me? Why did I do that? Why do I keep having the same relationships? Why do I keep putting myself down? Why do I feel like doo-doo every day? You know, that kind of thing. So what's going to happen here is your transformation on the air, folks, because Crystal Andrus Morissette is going to help you understand your emotional age and what that means and steps to becoming an authentic adult. Oh, crud. I have to become an adult?
I know. We get to grow up. Aww. We have to grow up. But it's going to be fun.
Cool.
It's going to be really fun. We're going to step into our power as women, as men.
Yay.
And this is such exciting work. And it's true,
yes,
Dr. Michelle, that we can change. You know, I remember years ago, and, you know, I guess we teach what we need to learn, but I came from a family that really didn't believe. It was sort of like this whole self-help stuff is just pooey-wooey, and people don't change. You are who you are. And I remember thinking, well, that's really depressing.
Yeah.
Like, how can that be true, that people can't change? That's just not true.
Yes.
If you want to, and if you're given the right information, and you can process it and make sense of it, absolutely we can make different choices that will start to change our reality, and before you know it, we're living a different experience.
Oh, that's amazing. And, you know, in your bio here, I was just sort of reading that you said we teach what we need to learn, so which is so true, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But in your journey, you know, you kind of had some rough times growing up. Can you share a little bit with us and how that inspired
you? You know, it's crazy because here I am nearly 50, and my birthday's in a couple of weeks. And my husband keeps saying, why do you tell people you're 50? You're not 50 till next year. I know, but I'm going to be turning 50 next year.
Oh, you're cute.
So, but it's crazy to think that I'm turning 50 and it's still outrages certain people in my family that someone like you might bring up my past and say, can you tell us a little bit about your childhood?
Yeah.
It's like, it was 40 years ago, family.
Right.
I can talk about it.
Right.
I should be able to talk about it.
Yes.
Simply for the reference point, so that when someone is listening to me, they say, wow, she has gone through really, really crazy, abusive experiences. Mm. And that's not to throw anybody under the bus, but it is to say, you cannot let your traumas.
Yes.
And we cannot let those things that were done to us change us forever.
Yes.
We get to be us again. We get to be back to who we were if we'd never been abused. And and the only reason I share those stories were with sexual abuse and, you know, moved out at 15 and was homeless often. And my mother will still say, she was never homeless.
Right.
I was, Mom. It was 3 years. Yeah. We didn't talk.
Oh,
I was 15 to 18. And then I was diagnosed with cervical cancer.
Oh.
It just was almost like one thing after another.
Yeah.
And I had this traumatic head injury at 21 where I fractured my skull and broke my cheekbone. And it was just one thing. And funny enough, though, isn't it interesting that by the time I got married and then I gained 100 pounds, that was the thing I talked about. That's all the thing anybody talked about.
Yep.
Crystal gained weight. Crystal gained weight. My first book was How to Help Everyone in the World Lose Weight.
Right.
But I wasn't talking about the abuse.
Exactly.
I never talked about the betrayals, the neglect. I never talked about those things because I wasn't ready yet, even in my first book. It's only now that I realize it's okay to share those stories, not to be voyeuristic about my life or first, but just really to say to people, you know, you can come from the muck.
Yes.
You can have come from the trenches.
Mm.
And you can climb your way out.
Yes.
And you can create a magnificent life for yourself in spite of, even in spite of things you've done.
Yes.
Or didn't do.
Right. And we all make mistakes. Exactly.
Yep. We get a rewrite.
Yes.
And every day we can do a rewrite if we want to.
Yes, we can. Bless your heart. That is so true. I mean, my goodness. And your story is so inspiring, and my heart goes out to you. I am so sorry you had to learn from all these things.
I know, it sucks, but there's a lot of people, and I'm not, but there's a lot of people that have gone through worse. There's a lot of people that have gone through less. Mm. It doesn't, to each of us, we have these pain stories that can really change at our emotional age. There's the word for it.
Yes.
We can get jolted at times. Things can happen to us along the way that emotionally jolt us, and we make a decision to start showing up in a different, I just call it energy, and I think on LA Talk Radio I can use that term energy. It's like a different energy you show up in.
Yeah, you
I call
can
it
use
sort
that
of
word.
Like your mother energy or your daughter energy.
Sure.
Or your woman energy. And when I say it in that way, I find women, particularly men too, it's like you have your father energy, you have your little boy energy, or you have your man energy. And if you've been traumatized at a young age, you really might have made the decision, I'm burying that little girl. And I'm just going to show up in the world as a really responsible, I'll be the wind beneath everyone's wings. I carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. I'm only 20. I have no children. But if people call me an old soul, all that stuff. And that's because you've buried this part of you that you're like, being coy, cute, dramatic, demanding, rebellious does not serve me. Got to put that part of me away.
Wow. How are you psychic? You just described my life. What?
This is it. This is how we. This is why we women. This is why people get this work. They go, Are you inside my head? Well, it's collective. This is why truth should be able to stand the test of time, and it should be able to be filtered through everybody's lenses and still feel the truth.
Oh my God, it's so true. By the way.
Or on the other hand, you made a decision. Maybe your mother was in mother energy. Maybe, maybe you made a decision at a young age, oh my God, I am never going to become someone's drudge. I am never going to be the workhorse. I am never growing up. I know there's an exciting life out there, and damn it, I'm going to get it.
That's
and
right.
I don't know how I'm going to get it. But I'm going to get it, and if I have to claw and scratch and fight and charm, and I'm going to get, and that's daughter energy. That's the opposite.
Boy, you know, that used to work, I guess, huh?
Well, I think for each of us, in truth, Dr. Michelle, in truth, we have both those anyway, so it's not like it's one or the other. We have both, and often we swing. We might be in mother energy for 10 years. We leave our partner, and all of a sudden, we're swinging from the chandeliers for 6 months. And we're over there in daughter energy, and then we're like, oh, mortified. What happened to me? I'm so embarrassed. And then we bury her back in the basement, so to speak, your subconscious. Then you swing back over, and then you become the weight of the world for everybody again. And then you swing. And until you figure out how to roll that pendulum up, literally transcend. These two wounded parts of you.
Sure.
Heal the split, they would say in psychology. You're a psychologist.
That's right.
Heal the split so that we can actually transcend those wounds and show up as our greatest healed adult version of ourselves.
Wow. And we're going to find out how to do that in just a bit. And by the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, you're here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, Crystal Andrus Morissette. She's really amazing. You probably heard her and seen her in various media outlets. And she's a leader in the field of self-discovery and personal transformation. This is her latest book. She's a bestseller, of course. And she's just really taught women so much, and people, men as well, as you just said, Crystal, you know, how to become their best personality.
Yeah. Anti-man, that's for sure. I really want to be clear about that. It's not anti-man, because men have been deeply affected by patriarchy, too.
Mm.
And when I say patriarchy, it isn't men. It's just, it's this climate that everybody has been born into patriarchy, everybody, men and women. So men have certain expectations how they're supposed to show up, and sometimes a man feels like he needs to be the father to his wife, he needs to be the father to everybody. So he gets this too.
Exactly.
Or he makes the decision, I'm never settling down, and he gets the label of the player or the bad boy.
That's right.
So this works. It's universal. It's archetype work. It's archetype work, and it's universal.
And it's not the kind of, you know, Jungian archetypes that we've talked about on the show before. It's, you know,
it's new and it's fresh.
And it's, you know, it is. And it's real. And I know you've kind of started talking about those particular archetypes or who we still are because we're made up of all these parts, but maybe you can explain, we'll just go back a little bit and explain what emotional age is and how that kind of impacts our life.
Sure. You know, it started off, it was years ago. So I have this online empowerment coach certification. We're in 45 countries now, which is so exciting.
Beautiful.
And I have professors and student advisors from around the world. And of course, we're enrolling women from all around the world. So, there were certain things that when we would be on the phone, just like this, in a radio interview, Dr. Michelle, you have the most incredible voice, but that can be taught.
Yes.
So let's imagine that I have my professors, and one of them has a baby voice, just a little bit of a baby girl voice. And how it first started is I just said to the group, ladies, you got to really step into your woman energy, in your voice, in the way I started to explain. I said, if somebody wants to have a coaching call with you, but the time zone makes it 3 a.m., say no.
Yes.
You're not, you have to have boundaries, and you have to, I just gave them this whole list of certain things, and I said, so you don't want to be in your daughter energy. That's how it first came out.
Right.
And they all were like,
what?
Where are you getting this?
Yes.
Where are you getting this? I've never heard these terms before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? So I actually hired my professor of coaching, Isabella Viscopova. She's a brilliant researcher.
Mm.
She's a lawyer. She's a psychologist. And she's also our professor of coaching at the school. And I said to her, research, please find out if I'm stealing this from someone.
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard of this before, but please go through all the psychology books, go through the journals, go through. And what she determined was, yes, back in the 70s, there was something called transactional analysis.
Right.
You know, I'm okay, you're okay, you're okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was Eric Byrne, and he taught about the parent, the child, and the adult. But they were different concepts. But he still had, so she said, well, there is something to that, Crystal, but that's a good thing.
Yes.
It's a really good thing when top psychologists have come up with something, and you can reference your work to those. And I was like, really? And she was like, oh, no, this Freud had his id, his superego, his ego.
That's right.
Carl Jung had his shadow, his ego, his collective unconscious. You have your child, parent, and adult. And she said, you do it. Go for it. So I literally just took that. Once I knew I had the all clear, and I thought, why has no psychologist created the concept or theorized on emotional age?
Right.
We have biological age.
Right.
You know, you're chronologically, like I said, I'm 49 in a couple of weeks, a blazing, fiery Sagittarius. But where did I just go with that? 49. Oh, so we have our biological age. So chronological age, biological age. And I thought, but we all have an emotional age too. And it's how we show up. It's how we communicate. Mm. It's how we compromise. It's how we negotiate.
Right.
It's how we view the world and how we think the world views us.
Yes, exactly.
And so that's where the idea first came.
Oh, okay.
And yes, we could probably say we have the emotional age of a five-year-old, but it's not based on chronological. I just put it into three distinct archetypes, which the parent, which is the saintly. Imagine you could even take a triangle.
Yeah.
Just like all those great thinkers, Jung, Freud, Byrne, Andrés Morissette, and we were to put it as a triangle, and you know, we were to say, if you were to imagine that triangle, well, there are three distinct parts of the personality. Even in Christianity, there is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
Right? So I thought, why don't we consider the parent part of us the selfless part of us? It's the easiest way to think about it, the selfless.
Yes, absolutely.
Then let's take the other corner, the child archetype, the id.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call that our selfish part of us.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then let's come up to the top and say, and that's yourself. That's the self.
Yep.
This is the healed whole self. And that's really ultimately the work we're doing, getting back to being your most authentic, real you.
Yes, exactly.
You at your best.
Right.
You tapping into your potential, into your healing that collective unconscious and lifting collective unconscious so that we're actually lifting the world.
Yes,
at the same time.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It totally does. So, and you talk also about a communication scale, you know, which I love. Oh, I love that stuff because, you know, in our work, you and I, you know, we see people and we work with people who have different ways of communication and defense, as I call them, defense mechanisms, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah.
You know, so you've yep. got a lot of that passive and passive aggressive stuff you talk yeah. about, and then aggressive to assertive and all these misconceptions that we learn in our early environment or how to survive, how to express yep. ourselves properly,
yep.
you know, and you say, how can we accept and ultimately get into the peaceful place? So maybe you can elaborate on that a little bit.
Sure. Sure. So imagine we're going to go back to that diagram and we can all visualize it. So we have this diagram. On the one side, we got the parent. The other side, we got the child. At the top, we got the adult. And then running down through the middle of that, almost imagine a ladder. So at the very top of the empowerment spectrum is peaceful communication. You really are at peace. You have peace of mind. Mm. You really have a sense of peace about this. Peace is where the great stuff happens. Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of people, particularly women, who think they are peaceful, and the truth is they are at the absolute opposite end of the spectrum,
yes.
and they are passive.
Yes.
They're going through life kind of saying, it is what it is, what can I do about it? You know, suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah.
And that right. is what it is.
Yes.
And they think they're peaceful, but they're not at peace.
Yes, yes.
And so the communication spectrum is kind of a takeoff of the assertiveness spectrum that I learned about years ago, and I thought, well, there's a whole better way of living that's even higher than assertive.
Yes.
Like, the assertiveness spectrum was teaching people that there are four styles of communication, which is mm-hmm. you're either going to be assertive in life,
yep.
you're going to be aggressive, mm-hmm. and a lot of people misunderstand aggressiveness. They
right.
think aggressive means the big, loud guy that always has to be right and yells at everybody.
Right.
But aggressive behavior can be just careless disregard.
Yep.
Just
yep.
reckless disregard.
Yes. Yes,
just
exactly.
snubbing someone. Being hurtful and just disregarding people. That's
yes,
aggressive. And then
exactly.
passive aggressive is this idea that people are supposed to know what we're feeling without saying it. So we just bang the cupboard door a little louder to let someone know we're not happy.
Yes,
or we
exactly.
sigh, that big sigh as we're walking through a room instead of communicating. And then passive is just nothing. It's just going through the motions, feeling sort of stuck, feeling a lot of guilt, making decisions out of places of not even fear, but guilt and shame and helplessness and hopelessness, and it's learned.
Yes.
If I have time to share really quickly, there
sure.
was a study.
Love it.
Is that okay? Just
oh,
2 minute study.
Love that stuff.
So there was a study that was done in the 70s here in Canada. I'm Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in solid ice and snow right now.
Oh my gosh.
Americans always laugh and say, why do you Canadians have your Thanksgiving in the first week of October? And we say,
because
it's already snowing by the time you guys are having
that's
your Thanksgiving.
Right. That's right.
So there was a study done here in Canada at McGill University, and it would never be allowed now. But they took dogs. We would never do experiments on dogs now, but this was done in the 70s. And it was a very compelling experiment because it really taught psychologists what learned helplessness is. And it's so simple, but it was shocking. They would take two dogs at a time, put them in a crate. The dogs were separated. They could see each other. And one dog had a little lever. The other dog had nothing.
Yeah.
This is horrifying. They electrocuted the dogs.
Oh.
The lever, though, was connected to the electricity. So the dog that had the lever would press the lever, stop the electricity, and the other dog didn't know why he was being electrocuted and why it was stopping. But here's where it got interesting.
Yeah.
And they did this over and over with pairs of dogs. They then took the two dogs again, put them in another crate, but this crate had an opening they could jump to freedom. They were,
yes.
they were not stuck in there.
Yeah.
They electrocuted the dogs. The dogs that had the lever, the dog that knew I can stop the pain, instantly would jump free. The dog that didn't have the lever,
yes.
even though it had complete freedom, would stay and be electrocuted to death. They'd put the other dog back in, electrocute, the one dog would jump out, like, come on, buddy, come with me.
Yes.
And that's why we don't do what we see.
Yes.
That's why we don't make changes because we see somebody else becoming successful.
Oh, my goodness.
If something happened to us when we were young, and we felt like such a loss of control,
yes.
such a sense of powerlessness.
Yes.
We make decisions in the brain.
Mm.
The brain changes,
yes.
and the brain says,
"Yeah,
you can't fight the power."
Right.
Like, right.
Hey,
like,
that's right.
There's nothing you can do.
Yes. Well,
what got really interesting, one more step in this experiment, they then took the dogs who had been traumatized. They were both traumatized,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
But yet the one dog that could get to freedom never acted traumatized. It was never acted depressed. It had just been electrocuted. But it never acted depressed.
Right.
It didn't act traumatized.
Yes.
It got on with its life. It literally shook it off. Like, shake it off, carried on, and acted like a happy dog.
Yep.
The dog that couldn't, that didn't have the lever, became very depressed.
Mm.
They then began treating those dogs, those depressed dogs, with antidepressants.
Yes.
And that's where antidepressants became really big, because all of a sudden they were saying, you can give a pill to someone who's been traumatized, and they will wake back up and realize there's living to do.
Hmm.
But what they also learned in people, a psychologist, and you as a therapist yourself, what we started to learn, too, is that but if you can ask people the right questions, you will reignite a part of their brain that remembers they still have choice.
Yes,
and
exactly.
They can make different choices.
Right,
and if
right.
you start making those different choices enough time, you change the brain, you create new synaptic pathways, and you're back in it to win it.
Yes, exactly. Oh, God, that makes so much sense. It
and
really
that's
does.
What we
yes,
do. That's
no.
what I do.
Right,
I
right.
help people learn how to ask themselves the right questions, because we all, Carl Jung said, we all have access to the same collective unconscious. That's why
right.
we understand fairy tales. That's why
right.
we can hear a song and we all love it, even if
that's
it's not
right.
even in a language we understand.
Yes.
Because we get certain things, and if we can ask ourselves the right questions, our own brains go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it
right.
will find the answer, the right answer.
Yes, it really will.
That's why I get excited about this work.
Oh, I know you do, and that's lovely. No, I can't. You're just, you're so lethargic, and you're amazing.
That's woman energy.
That's it, girl.
Energy.
That's it, honey. So today,
and people ask me.
Yeah.
I bet they ask you, how do you have so much energy? How do you get so much done?
Yeah.
Well, because it's not done with physical willpower.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done from that place of forcing. It's not done from daughter energy, and it's not done from mother energy, where you're exhausted but doing it anyways.
Yes.
You literally have sort of the energy of the universe. It's like the universe says, I hope that doesn't sound really hokey, but it's almost like the universe says, hey, if you're in it, we'll get in behind you.
Oh,
but there's nothing we can do if you're not in it.
No, exactly. And by the
way, can't help you if you're not helping yourself.
That's exactly right. And if you can't look, and there's so many tools out there in your book as well, by the way, The Emotional Edge with my guest, Crystal Andrus Morissette, can help people really how to get in touch and discover the inner age, ignite the hidden strengths, and really reroute those misdirected fears to live our fullest and be the person that, authentic adults that we really, this is what we're here to do in our journey and learn. And by the way, Crystal, I have physicists come on the show, and they're all about tuning into the field, and our heart-brain coherence and just locking into
Brilliant.
That. You know what I'm saying?
It's
where you're
not
at, girl.
I'm not picking anybody out.
Oh, listen, you're not, oh, goodness, no, not here. Not on the couch, no.
Right on.
It's all here. Everything's discussed right here. We do have a couple of questions here, but I do want to ask you more questions because this is amazing, your book. So, it has some really wonderful self-help information. There's some quizzes you can take, and also.
Actually, do you know that you can take that quiz on Oprah.com right now?
Oh, no way.
You can actually, once they're done the radio show,
you
they can
are
head
so good.
Over to,
yep.
I know, when you get your work featured on Oprah, get the Oprah fairy dust starting to sprinkle on you now.
There you go.
But you can go to Oprah.com /inspiration and put in emotional age quiz. And you can take the quiz on Oprah and find out what energy you're resonating in. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people take the quiz and go, I'm in woman energy. And
yes.
I say, no, you know woman energy, but is your life actually reflecting back
right.
to you?
Right. Keep it real.
Let your life reflect back to you the truth of the way you're making choices.
Right, exactly. Do you think we always sort of draw, constantly, from our parent and our child and, our adult? I mean, are we always sort of drawing from that because it's really embedded in our subconscious,
I think we always have that within us.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that when It's sort of shadow work. This is kind of neat work because mm-hmm. it's a different take on shadow work, which mm-hmm. is usually one of them is more dominant. Mm-hmm. So when something is dominant, something needs to be submissive. So yep. that's the duality. Mm-hmm. The duality in this work is until you heal, mm-hmm. until you heal that duality, that split, then you can't, you will keep going back and forth almost between child parent. So imagine that you made the decision that I feel more comfortable with people seeing me as a very selfless, saintly, martyr, rescuer, perfectionist, kind of hardworking, mm-hmm. wind beneath everybody's wings
yes.
Kind of personality. Well, that mm. means that you have buried the other part of you, that child archetype, I call it in the basement, so to speak. So imagine you had three children. Just imagine you had three little girls.
Okay.
And one of them was just so lovely. She was so happy, yeah. well-adjusted, did really well in school, just easygoing kid.
Right.
And she just felt like a little mini you, and you just got along with her really great. So you were like, you're such a good girl, you get to come and eat at the dining room table with mommy. Now imagine that you have another little girl, and she is just angry. She's just always angry. Mm-hmm. She's getting in arguments at school. The teachers are always mad at her. She's yelling yep. at you. She's rude. Mm. She's angry. So you say, you know what? I'm going to put you down in the basement, and I'm going to chain you to the cement basement floor and lock you down there.
Yes, yes.
And then you have one other little girl, and she's just always crying.
That's right.
And she's scared. And you're like, God, you drive me crazy. I'm going to put you down in the basement, too.
Oh, God.
Now, you would never do that.
No.
You would never do that.
No.
You would never do that. In fact, your little scared girl, you probably think she needs love even more.
Yes, exactly.
And my angry kid needs love. So, but what we do with ourselves is almost like we pick and choose parts of us that we say, well, I like that part of me, so I'm going to be okay showing the world that part of me, but these other parts of me I'm so mortified of, I'm just going to bury them. It's like I'm going to, it's like that beautiful title of Jan Levenzat's book, Peace from Broken Pieces.
Yes.
It's like we fragment. Yeah. We say, I don't like this part, so I'm going to take the bad and the ugly and get rid of her. Well,
yes.
That's why we have this feeling all the time. We don't feel whole. I remember
yes.
hearing Jane
yes.
Fonda say
yes.
on Oprah Winfrey's masterclass, yes. we're not meant to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're meant to be whole. And I thought, but nobody knows what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
And exactly. what that means is you're going to have to get to know the parts of you that you've buried, and you're going to actually have to get to love the parts of you and listen to those parts of you and give them a place back in your heart and let them come back and eat at the dining room table and get to know yourself. And
exactly.
when you get to know yourself and really love yourself, you don't have that battle anymore. You literally don't.
Oh.
You really, really don't. You really feel a sense of, I like who I am. I love who I am. I love humanity. I'm showing up as my authentic self everywhere I go at all times. I trust and I listen to myself. And if I fall off track, I pick myself up, I dust myself off, and I get back on the horse like that.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what's so lovely, beautifully said, really. That's what's lovely about your book, The Emotional Edge, because, I mean, you do have this information, this self-help thing about, you know, it's something I hear a lot too, and I know you do too, is coming, that feeling that always comes back up of those little messages, you're not enough, you're not enough, you're overweight, you're never going to be smart, no one's ever going to love you, you don't speak up, you, and gosh, I mean, I have such, you know, heartfelt sadness for folks who come into my work and share these things. And they're, you know, grown-ass adults. Bless their hearts with their own life.
And, you know. Here's what's crazy.
Yeah.
I was doing this work, and it probably wasn't until I was in my 40s, my early 40s, that I even realized. I didn't even know I had a scared little girl that I buried.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. So I'm like doing this work and thinking, oh, but I'm not that. And then realizing, no, I am that. Like, I'm all things. We have to embrace that we are all things.
Mm.
And so even that person that we say we feel so sad for, that person that has those thoughts, we all have them.
We
do the work of, like, and maybe you've buried that part of you. Maybe you've buried that. But I find that this work allows you to actually, as you're having the thought, you have an awareness where you start to realize, wow, that voice is talking again.
Mm-hmm.
Who
That's
is
exactly
that voice?
Right. Yes.
Let's give that voice a persona. So now we can call that voice, oh, she's your little wallflower.
Yeah.
She's your little wallflower. She's just so afraid of being in front of the camera. She doesn't want to be seen. She wants, who is she? She's just trying to keep you safe. So now you can, like, when the wallflower comes out, you can actually have a dialogue with her, get to know her and say, oh, you're just so afraid we're going to take over and be a big mouth.
Yes, exactly.
Or whatever it might be.
Right,
on the other hand, maybe you've buried your charmer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's okay for other women to be sexy. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's other women that are your same size.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are other women who are a little chubby, but boy, they have the curves and they work it and they're gorgeous. But not you.
Yes.
You have that voice inside of you that you're like, you've buried that. I call her your chubby bubby.
Aww.
So I get to know my chubby bubby. Hey, chubby bubby. You know, what's going on here? And chubby bubby's like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, when you were sexy and thin, you just got into trouble.
Yep.
People
That's right.
took advantage of you. Men abused you. Women hated you. So then you have to get to know her and go, oh, my God, you're just protecting
That's
me.
That's right, exactly.
I can love my chubby bubby.
That's right.
I don't have to hate the part of me that wants to be fat.
That's
I can actually understand her
That's
now.
Exactly right. And, you know, when you were saying at the beginning of the show, you know, when you got married or and you gained 100 pounds, it's like, why? What's going on? They were focusing on, you know, the weight. They were focusing on
it was all about the weight instead of realizing I had an unconscious commitment to Oprah Winfrey. No, I'm only kidding. I had an unconscious commitment to once you get married and you're a mom, you have to, you know, good moms aren't. My mom was gorgeous, sexy, and really, really struggled as a mother. And I unconsciously realized I made a decision. I'm not going to be like my mom. Now, who do I know that's an amazing woman? Well, I had an auntie who was just the most wonderful, beautiful, kindest. I wish she were my mother. She was always chubby. My mother was always saying, if she would just lose a little weight, she'd be so beautiful. And I'd be thinking,
wow.
She is so beautiful.
Yes, good.
What do you mean?
Yes, exactly.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
It kind of shocked me when I put weight on and everybody was saying, you'd be so much happier if you lost weight. I was thinking, why are you all so worried about my weight?
Yes, exactly.
What do you mean?
What is that about? Exactly.
Right?
And
so it was making peace. What this process is ultimately making peace with yourself.
Exactly. And loving and forgiving and allowing
yourself.
The higher self within you to come out.
Yes.
And you know, it's just it's so lovely. I mean, it's beautiful. I just want to read you this question because this one popped out on straighttalkdoc at gmail.com and this is the kind of person who I know you'll inspire. This is it. Here it goes. She gave her name. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's from McKenna. She said, my mom has been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. I'm embarrassed to say that at 27 years old, I'm still trying to work through my low self-esteem and from being on my mom's roller coaster of love and hate emotions. How can I get over continuing to crave her love even though I know she's mentally ill? Wow.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah,
McKenna.
I understand.
Thank you, honey.
And what's her name?
McKenna. Yeah, thanks.
Hardest wounds of all wounds is the mother wound.
Yes.
And here's really underneath the mother wound. And I love Bethany Webster's work. She has a website called Womb of Light, Womb, W-O-M-B, of Light. And she does a lot of work on the mother wound. So, McKenna, I think you would love her work as well. But I, too, have struggled. You have to realize I'm nearly 50. And, you know, my mother lives an hour from me. She hasn't spoken to me or any of her children or any of her grandchildren in nearly 12 years.
Wonderful.
How does that happen?
How
does that happen that a mother doesn't speak to her children in 12 years? So, McKenna, I understand this, this deep longing for, like, I just want my mom to love me.
That's right.
Here's one thing I will say.
Yes.
And this doesn't make it any easier, and this is not to sugarcoat or to soften it. But I do say, imagine that before you came to Earth. This helps me. One of the first things I first say is, imagine that you first came to Earth, you're having a little chat with God, and you're like, hey, God, like, I really want to get it figured out this time. So God says, well, why don't you pick the most screwed up mother you can find? And maybe even a really screwed up father.
Yeah.
Like, and then
when
you figure out how to love yourself in spite of them, you will have reached nirvana.
Yes.
And it's going to be a lot harder when you have parents like that Mm-hmm. But when you learn how to love yourself, it's mm-hmm. going to be so much richer and bigger and fuller
yes.
than you could ever have imagined if you'd spent your entire life just knowing you were adored and loved.
Yes.
That's what true self-love is.
That's so,
so
true.
So I would say to McKenna, you're going to have to set boundaries with your mom
mm-hmm.
when you... When you call me and flip out on me, and then 3 weeks later love me and tell me
yes.
you love me, and you,
yes.
and then 4 hours later call me and tell
That's
me
right.
you hate me,
yes.
or whatever it is,
yep.
when you mm-hmm. do that, I feel,
yep.
and you use those words, I feel mm-hmm. hurt, scared, abandoned, broken, wounded, unsure of myself. I don't know how to love myself when mm-hmm. you don't love me.
Yes.
Would you be willing... This is boundary setting.
Yes.
When you, I feel, would you be willing to not call me when you've been drinking?
Right.
To not call me when you're... To not send me those emails. To not send me those kind of letters. To not expect me to be your emotional buffer.
Yes.
I can't do that anymore,
exactly.
Mom.
Exactly.
And if not...
Right.
We have to have consequences.
We just,
and
right.
that might mean I stop taking your phone calls after 7
that's,
o'clock at night. Because I know
right.
what happens.
That's right. That's right.
Or it means I don't stay at your house longer than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
I know where it's going.
Yep. That's
and
exactly
and when you start to do that, I'm going to get up and leave. And you might
that's
only
right.
your mom might do it 5 more times, and every time you don't even argue with her, you just say, "When you speak to me this way, I feel so sad
yes.
and hurt."
Yes.
And if you aren't willing to stop talking to me this way, I'm going to have to leave. And
yes.
she doesn't instantly, you just get up and you leave. This is called consequences. It's
mm-hmm.
no different than a child.
That's right.
When you scream every time we go in the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
it
mm-hmm.
makes mommy feel like a bad mother.
That's right.
Would you be willing to
yeah.
be a great listener so that you can come grocery shopping with me? Because
exactly.
if not,
yes.
you're not going to be able to come with me.
That's right. And, you know, the problem...
No, we are
yes.
teaching people,
exactly.
even our mothers, our fathers, our lovers, our children, our husbands, our coworkers, how to treat us.
Beautifully said, and thank you so much for that, Crystal, because, I mean, it's, and thank you so much, McKenna, for having, you know, the strength to reach out and ask that question. And if you do pick up this book, The Emotional Edge, from Crystal Andrus Morissette, you will learn a lot, McKenna. You can take some tests, you can go online, you can hear all about women's empowerment and what
else.
That means to
Here's
you.
Here's what else.
Yeah?
Through my school, we offer free mentorship coaching to any woman living in the world. So part of our graduates being able to graduate is
yeah.
they have to do 30 mentorship coaching calls. So 10 women, 3 coaching calls. There's no upsell, there's no fee, there's no hidden, nothing. You don't have to become a student of the school, nothing. You just come to the SWAT Institute, sign up for mentorship coaching, and once you have your 3 coaching calls with one coach, you could have another 3 coaching calls with another coach. It gives our students the practice to hone and perfect their coaching skills, and it gives women around the world a safe place. And
yes.
these women have spent just tons of hours in the learning, the theory learning with me. This is not a winky-dinky weekend course.
Yeah,
you know, it takes the average woman 12 months just to move through the first level. So, you know, get some support. We need to ask for help.
Exactly.
We need help. We cannot heal alone.
Yes, it's so true. Beautifully said. And we're going to tell you just a little bit, everybody, how you can find out more about Crystal Andrus Morissette, pick up her latest book, The Emotional Edge, and her other books, and also get involved, you know, in her coaching and her courses and things like that. And she's, of course, the expert and founder of the SWAT Institute. I just love that acronym.
I
think it's so
you
cool.
Love it.
Simply,
I always say we're the new special weapons
that's it.
And tactical.
That's it.
We're
going
to heal the world
that's
one
it.
Woman at a time.
You're so cute. And by the way, just let me throw that in, folks. It's not anti-man. You know,
it's not at all.
It, you know, it's not.
You know what it really is?
Yeah.
It's just a safe place for women to do the work. You know, I think we forget here in North America that there are still countries in the world where a woman can be buried from the waist down and stoned to death if her husband thinks she's having an affair.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
We have to give women safe places where they can come and they can learn with other women and they can be supported. And here's what's incredible. You know, I was just chatting with one of my students getting ready to graduate.
Yeah.
She lives in California.
Yeah.
And right now she's coaching a woman from Algeria, Africa.
Oh, wow.
And she said, Crystal, I was expecting expecting to get on that coaching call, and she would talk about the oppression and how she couldn't and how women there in that country don't have, and all she talked about was her boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Like, she's the same as us. I said, yes.
It is.
Of course. People are people.
Yes.
We're all the same. Mm-hmm. We have to be culturally sensitive. Mm. We're not all from the same communities. We aren't. We don't all have the same backgrounds or the same religious beliefs, but we're all people.
Yes, we are.
And that's exactly what peace is.
That's exactly
peace.
Right.
That's what peace is. Mm-hmm. We can disagree on things like who you think the president should be, but you're still my equal. I'm still your equal.
That's right.
And we need to treat each other. If we keep dividing, we'll never learn anything.
That's right. Exactly.
You know, when I'm right and you're wrong, that's aggressive communication.
That's right.
So there's assertive, and then there's accepting, and then there's loving, and then there's joyous, and then there's peaceful. Imagine climbing to that level of communication.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
I mean, that's I think our quest. I think anyone that wants to be truly self-actualized,
right.
That's the quest.
Yes, peaceful, exactly. And again, it's like one of my favorite words, Crystal, is allowing. You know, that's my Zen thing, is just allow others to have their
truth.
Yeah,
well, that's the accepting communication, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's like, now I'm going to start getting into an allowing energy, where did I learn that who you are is not right? Mm. Where did I learn that what you're saying is wrong?
Exactly.
Where did I learn that who you are is unacceptable? Where did I learn that who I am is unacceptable?
Mm.
Where did I learn that? What if it's wrong?
Right.
What could that mean for your life?
That's right.
If half the beliefs that are not serving you are wrong, they're just not even true.
Yes,
what could
it's
that
so
mean
true.
For
exactly.
your life?
Exactly.
What if you are lovable? What if you are talented? What if you are gorgeous and fabulous? What if you are? It's like that great line from Marianne Williamson, who she is part of our guest faculty. Marianne Williamson
is
one of our
wonderful.
Guest faculty members. And I love the great line from A Return to Love. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Who am I to be gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Who are you not to be, for you're a child of God? I mean, it goes on and on, but the reality is we are so afraid of being bright, shiny, fabulous, happy, empowered, glorious. And you know what a big part of that is, McKenna?
Yes.
A big part of that, Dr. Michelle, is the mother wound.
Yes.
Because you know what?
Yes.
On some level, every one of our mothers had to trade off.
That's right.
And they either, if we step into our greatness, we either take the chance of having them feel such rage towards us for going for it, or we decide to unconsciously be complicit, so we keep ourselves small, so that we don't outdo our mothers.
That's right.
Then we have this inner sadness.
Yes, exactly. And
so this is a deep part of
out.
When we heal, we will actually heal the legacy for our mothers. Mm-hmm. And our mother might have a hard time coming to grips with the fact that we're doing it differently than she did it.
That's exactly right. And if we choose to have children, you know, that then we're breaking the cycle of that, you know, dysfunction. Then we're teaching.
And if we choose to not have children, we're even saying, which I have children, but even not having children, we're saying, my only... I have to be more just a domestic commodity.
That's exactly right. I am
My life has to have more meaning than just if I mean, if you are a parent, it's the most important job in the world.
Yep.
But if you're not a parent, it's not the most important job in the world.
It's not. Exactly.
It's not.
And you can parent yourself. You can
you
learn through that. Yes, exactly.
Listen
so
to
beautiful.
Us. This is like a ping pong match. It's so exciting.
It's like, you go, girl. You go, girl. You know?
Oh, that's great.
That's so funny. Well, we're just about out of time here already.
I see that.
You are an amazing guest. And gosh, everybody, I mean, Crystal Andrus Morissette is international best-selling author, emotional age and communication expert, women's advocate, teaching women all over the globe to take charge of their stories. And check out her latest book, The Emotional Edge. And it's discovering your inner age, igniting your hidden strengths, and rerouting misdirected fear. Oh, my God. What a concept to live your fullest life. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
You.
You're lovely. And it's
Thank
just
you.
This is a blessing to have you on the show. And
Thank you.
Blessings to everything you do for everybody
Thank
out there in
you
the world.
You as well.
Thank
and happy
you,
Thanksgiving.
Honey. Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
Had it.
Oh, that's right. You do that early because it's snowing. That's right.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. That's all I got to say. Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle. It's been so great. I love knowing that right now I'm chatting to people in L.A. How fun is that?
It's great to have you. And thank you for giving. All right, sweetie. Take good care. And hopefully we'll talk soon.
Bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right. Again, lovely. That was just amazing. That is the one and only Crystal Andrus Morissette. And, of course, her latest book, The Emotional Edge. Pick it up because you'll learn a lot about who you are, some of the personality traits and styles, and how to just kind of become more of your adult, who you have been in the past and things you've hung on to no longer serve you, because you can become a high-functioning, lovely, peaceful person. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Thanks, guys, for listening. And we'll be back next week with another amazing author. We're going to help you find your most personal self and style and develop that on a higher level as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye.